Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah. Declare me.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, God is good. God is good. You know, I've been listening to some interesting predictions from Bible prophecy teachers about when they think Jesus is about to come back. And some have been very interesting. Praise the Lord. Actually, there is even one who said he's coming back, I think, on the Feast of Tabernacles this year. Somehow he calculates it and comes to that date. Amen? And the Feast of Tabernacles would be like about less than 2 months away. So if he was right, cancel your wedding plans, among other things. But he's very wrong. Praise the Lord. So go ahead with your what? Wedding plans. It's very wrong because, see, the thing is that when you've been through the depth, when you fought some of the toughest wars in this world, you start developing a theology which says Jesus should come and rescue us from this world. But that theology is not based on scripture. There is no king who comes to a defeated people, his people, you understand? He is not coming to get people who are defeated and who are crying, help us, the whole world is crashing down on us. That is not what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. It absolutely is not what the scripture says. If he did that, he would come back as a defeated king. Okay? But that's not what is going to happen. What is actually going to happen is something totally different. Of course, some of you have not really encountered the forces of this world, really encountered them. But when you do, you start quoting scriptures like, when these things happen, look up, because your redemption draws what? Draws nigh. And you even start even imagining that maybe the cloud is about to part any minute from now. And he comes. He's not going to come now. You still have some time here because that's not the plan. Praise the Lord. He's going to come soon, but not now. That is not the plan. Now, the thing is, I also used to have that sort of theology, which was okay because it puts people in exam mode. It puts people in a certain mode where they start taking life a bit more seriously. And for some of these prophecy teachers, it actually gives a lot of, excitement about it. When is he coming and what? But also we have to understand that this talk of his coming has been there foremost for so many years. And the reality, for actually hundreds of years, and the reality is we are still here. But we are in the end times, okay? But now what we do in the end times is a totally different matter. Praise the Lord. Now, when Peter was talking about was giving his address to the Jews after the lame man had been healed outside the temple called Beautiful, he said something which is very key for the understanding of what the whole plan of the end time is. He said in chapter 3, we start from verse 20 of the Acts of the Apostles. He talks about Jesus, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive, or whom heaven must hold up until the times of restoration of all things. Now, King James Version says, until the restitution of all things. Restitution is a better word, I think, for this case. Until the restitution. So heaven has to hold him up until everything has been returned in its order to him, and then he comes as a conquering king, not as a king to rescue a defeated army, people who want to run away because apparently the world is so evil. No, that's not such a way. So he says, heaven must hold him up, must receive him until the time of the restitution of all things. Now, the word restitution means returning of something which was stolen, okay, which was wrongfully taken, and returning it to its rightful owner. That's called restitution. So now there are things which are supposed to belong to his people, to the church, which are not currently under the church, and now the restitution has to happen here on earth before Jesus comes. Otherwise, if he came and found the world the way it is right now, he would return as a defeated king, and he is not going to praise the Lord. Now, so there's going to be a restitution, and now it is our duty to put up, to restore the things which the enemy had taken and bring them back into the fold of the kingdom. And then shall he return when all things have been restored back to their rightful place, or given right back up to us. Praise the Lord. Now, when you see that this whole thing, and this theology has been there for some time, the one of rescue, come and rescue us or what. Actually, the Jews had the theology. That's why they struggled to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, because they felt that when the Messiah comes, he's going to come and create a kingdom of Israel and take it away from the Romans, who were in control at the time, and that place of Judah was under the Roman Empire, and then he was going to give back the kingdom to the Jews. That was their perception of the Messiah. All the way, all those disciples, all the way even up to his death and resurrection, they still felt that. I'm not talking about the other Jews, I'm talking about his disciples. Okay? Now, you see, that's why, remember on the road to Emmaus, they say that this man was killed and we thought he was the one who was going to, you know, so they were disappointed because their idea of a Messiah had been blown apart by Jesus' death. So they say that, you know, he was killed by the rulers and what. And now you see how that made it look like he was supposed to come and be the ruler. Then they say he was killed by the rulers and it looks like he was such a loser. Yeah? And that was their mindset. And even when he rose from the dead, remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, they ask him, let's go there, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. They ask him that, start from verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still thinking, even now, this was after he had died and rose from the dead. They were still thinking he's going to go and maybe get an AK-47 and defeat the Roman Empire and take Israel away and give it to them. That was the mindset. And then he says, would you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Then he says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But then he said, now, while you're talking about that, there's something that has to be done. But you receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea. Now he's saying, forget about that, this work you have to do here. Forget about the kingdom. Now go and convert people. Go and convert souls. This was the mission for the time. Now others, our mission for now has changed. Okay? It's no longer, of course it is converting souls, but it's no longer this kind of being witnesses. Okay. It's now totally different. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 19, and start from verse 11, I want you to see that this sort of thinking has been there around a lot, and it kind of weakens people as in regard to what they are supposed to do. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Or in other words, they thought the kingdom of God was about to happen. Okay? And therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. King James says, occupy till I come. He says, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. Now, you see, you evangelize. But I'm going to tell you this. The world will always hate him. There is not a time when the world There's not a time when Jesus is going to be the most popular person in the world. It's not going to happen. Okay? But there is a time when he's... okay. There's not a time when the gospel is going to be the most popular. But the time is now when it's supposed to be in total dominion. Okay? Where you dominate people, whether they like it or not. Okay? Now the scripture says that. He says that, but citizens hated him. And that is still the case. And he's talking about himself. And says the citizens hated him, saying, "We'll not have this man reign over us." But then he leaves these people there and tells them, "I want you to enforce my reign upon them, whether they like it or not." Praise the Lord. So at the beginning, it is persuasion. He's, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what. But now in our time, it is imposing. It starts with as a proposition, and it ends as an imposition. So we impose ourselves upon them whether they like it or not. Okay? Now that is the whole purpose. Now it's not going to be popular. It's not going to be everybody is going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not what the scripture says. By the way, let me tell you, the quicker people understand that actually as the world goes in a certain direction, certain things which are right, which are supposed to be right, are going to have a lot of resistance against them. And like the resistance will come from people even whom you think should know better. For instance, Israel. Do you see the amount of hatred that comes towards Israel these days? Like it is, and now you see, you have to know it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Okay? Like it is just people, like you even talk, have you ever, if you want to see somebody become irrational, totally irrational, you talk about Israel and you're supporting, you will see people become, all their rationality flies out of the window. And there will be, something will take them over. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. Because if you were arguing about something else, they would be rational. They would come be calm and say, no, I think you're wrong here and what, you know. But something takes them over. No. And they will, they can squeeze your neck just over Israel. Now that, because, you see, now it's not going to be any different with the church, by the way. And it is going to become worse as the church gets into dominion. It is easier to ignore the church currently as it is. Because you're just people who sit somewhere and what? And fellowship. But you wait when you get into dominion and now you're actually ruling over them. You'll see how angry people will be. Okay? They are not. You will not see that anger now because you're not there. Nobody is angry at somebody who appears to be defeated. But wait when the victory actually comes and the dominion comes and they realize that you go here, you find somebody, you know, of the faith. You go there, if I go the other side, you go there, everywhere, there's somebody there. Then you will see. The hatred that is towards Israel will look like Sunday school in comparison. I'm telling you, like they don't want to be ruled. And that's the thing. And that's the way the Lord says, the citizens hated him. This is the nobleman. This is the king who Jesus is talking about himself. And they sent a delegation after him saying, "We will not have this man rule over us." Thing though is that he's going to rule over them. Okay? Now that's why the scripture says that he rules over them with a rod of iron. You see, the time of proposing that you receive will come to an end. Then it will come a time of what? Rod of iron. Okay? Like you will be subjugated whether you want it or not. Okay? That's why it says, every knee shall bow down and every tongue will confess. Okay? All of them, every knee, those in heaven, those on earth, those beneath the earth, all of them will bow down and say, "He is Lord," to the glory of God the Father. Now that's how it opens. Because you see, the whole thing of the rod of iron. And it says that so many times, by the way, in the scripture. If you go to Psalms 2 now, that's where it talks a bit about that. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The nations rage. Praise the Lord. The nations do what? Rage. They are not happy. They will not be happy. But that's not going to bother us. Because we are not in a popularity contest. If we were, we would never win. We are in a dominion contest. Praise the Lord. We are in a contest to show that our God is truly God. So, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? And the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, I just take these words for as they actually are, that they are kings who are sitting down and plotting against God. It might come in different fashions. They might say, you know, we are going to use secularism in one place through universities, telling people, you know, everything has to be make sense. There is no God. Then here they are introducing something else. But the reality is that it has been planned. To some people, there have been introduced secret societies. Others, they are told, no. Your mind is God. So if something doesn't make sense to your mind, it is not there. Then to others, everybody, to each his own, you understand? And now, it looks like people have different opinions, just like that. But the reality is somebody is sitting out there and cooking them. And it says, the rulers rage, and they plot something against the Lord, and against his anointed, and against you, that is. Of course, against Christ, but also against you. And they are plotting. And you think, and this is a common thing with the church, you think that because apparently you're easy to ignore, apparently, that actually people will ignore you. They do not ignore you. Because the devil looks at your potential, not necessarily what you currently are. And he knows what is, and he knows what stands within the church. So the church might look like it's not like at the table where decisions are being made. But the enemy is not going to take you lightly at all. And so they say, against the Lord and against his anointed. By the way, these plots, and if you look at around the world right now, you know now there's another virus in China. What's it called? Chikung what? It looks like a virus from Kanung. It's called Chikungunya, something like it has a very, very African name, but it's from China apparently. And now there are already lockdowns in China. Now they are planning to do it again. But this time they are not going to succeed. Eh? But you see, they will always try. They try to pass the World Health Organization pandemic treaty. They ran into some, you know, problems. They are still trying very hard, even in Uganda, to pass the central bank digital currency. And they will not allow anybody who comes up and tells people exactly what central bank digital currency is going to do. There is one of us who wrote an opinion, an informed opinion, and he took it to a newspaper, and they read it through, and they refused to publish it. This is somebody who writes all the time, and they publish. But because there is a move to make everybody think this is a cool thing, central bank digital currency, your money is on your phone, and everything is nice, they want to pass it through quietly and so on. So they are plotting. And you know that will be the end of freedom. If it passed, of course it will not pass. Because the air up there has changed. None of those plots of theirs can pass when, the demonic spirits that propel them have been displaced. But otherwise, they will keep on trying central bank digital currency and what. It might even pass as some rule, but it's not going to be enforced. It's not going to be enforceable. And what they are trying to do with another lockdown is not going to happen. And none of those things is going to happen because the spirituality has changed. Okay? But that doesn't mean they don't sit down and plan that how are we going to do this. Remember what the scripture says about the Antichrist. It says he seeks to change the times and the seasons. Now the time for those things is there. It is going to come. But it is not now. Now is still the time of the church. Praise the Lord. To the church to be in dominion. Not numbers dominion, but in dominion. Okay. See, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bones in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Now you think that you're weak. But as far as they are concerned, they see that you have bones around them and they are cords. They feel they cannot move freely. Okay? When there are people who are doing certain things. When there are believers who are doing certain things. And as for you think that, what have we done to them? No. They feel the cords around them. If only you were not there. They feel those cords and they feel that they are bones. And they say, we shall cast them away and break their bones from us. The bones which are tying them. Go ahead. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in the derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Okay? In other words, the Gentiles, I will give you the nations. Ask anything, and I will give it to you. Now, while they are thinking about that, ask of me, and I will give you the ends of the earth for your possession. Go ahead. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall rule them. You shall break them with a rod of iron. That means you rule them with an iron fist. Okay? It's not talking about Jesus here. It's talking about who? About you. You shall rule them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, this rod of iron, it talks about that about Jesus. It talks about that about the church. Okay? Specifically, actually, about the church. If you read in Revelation chapter 2, where he's talking to the church in Thyatira, he says to Revelation, to start from verse, I think 21, verse 25 maybe. But hold fast what you have till I come. Okay, go ahead. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Okay? He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. And as I also received from my father. Okay? And I will give him the morning star. So in other words, the church, the overcoming church, rules with a rod of iron. First here, but then also in the millennial rule of Christ. Where they come and they rule with a rod of iron. And that means ruling people who don't want you. But you rule them anyway. Praise the Lord. And now that's what it says. That's why it says the government shall be upon his shoulders. In Isaiah 11, he says to order it according to him. To order everything according to God. Now, the time of that evangelical go to and preach the gospel, Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world, that was a time, that time. But now it is go and get dominion. Those who come into the fold will have their dominion. Those who go outside will be subjugated. Okay? By the way, let me tell you this. There is a religion which did this and spread very seriously by just doing this. They go and conquer. Not that this is how we are going to do it, but somehow it's a bit similar. They go and conquer. And then they make people convert to that religion like sort of kings. They are okay. Now, if you don't, you become a servant. Okay? And guess what happened? People started converting. It was that. Now, a time is going to come when it's so clear that you are not there, you have no dominion. Dominion has been passed on to a certain kind of people. And now, we are ruling with the rod of iron. And ruling, and by ruling, I mean ruling. Praise the Lord. By the way, we've been ruled with the rod of iron. So it's time for us to rule with what? A rod of iron. Because it says that of the Messiah. It says that in Revelation 19, when he comes riding on a horse. Okay? By the way, it says that about the Messiah a lot of times. Even in Revelation 12, when it's talking about his birth. Okay? And of the increase of his government, keep it there. And peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. the zeal of the Lord God will perform this. Now you see, it says to order the kingdom, to put it in order according to him. Okay? Now it's disordering. Now when he comes there, he puts it in what? In order. Now if you are not pursuing to take over something, to put it under subjugation, you are not doing what you are supposed to do to create a scenario where the Lord comes back. In other words, you are supposed to be taking over something to bring it under the under his control. You're supposed to be in the process of taking over something, some sector, something. Praise the Lord. And you're supposed to be very sure about what it is. You know, interestingly, I kind of had a very suspicious attitude towards AI. And I just thought it is just something there and so on. Then, I had an interesting dream when somebody, one of us, was sponsoring an AI course in a university. And the university, by the way, was even in Washington. And eventually, he took up the university. So, even in AI, we have to bring it and order it according to what? Because, you see, there has been a lot of surrendering of things. Entertainment, you surrender it to them. Movies, you surrender it to them. You know, everything, drama, what, the arts, you surrender it to them. And everything you surrender to them, they use it against the kingdom. Now, then God comes and brings people up, like you and me, who says that now I am raising you up to so that you rule them with a rod of iron. Okay? Like there is no, you're ordering it according to him. Because that's what Jesus is going to do, even the millennial rule. Now, you see, people think that he's going to be there and it's going to be a time of peace and what. No, no, no. It says he will rule them with a rod of iron and they will have to worship him whether they like it or not. And it says every nation that does not go to Jerusalem, where the Lord will be, every nation whose leader does not go to Jerusalem to worship will not have reign. Okay? And there will be a punishment for it. So in other words, those who hate him the most will be the ones going there to worship. That's what they call ruling with the rod of what? Of iron. By the way, I realized that I gave up on being loved. I prefer the rod of I prefer somebody to be with you because they have no choice. Because love is a very flimsy thing among you people, except if you are loving God. You see, eh? But it's a very, you know, it's not watertight. How many people can love you? They all hate you. They even hated Jesus. It says that, doesn't it? It says the citizens of the country said that man is not going to rule over us. But that man is going to rule over them. Praise the Lord. That man is going to do what? Hey. Praise the Lord. Eh. With the rod of, with the rod of what? With the rod of iron. And now it says, and it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. This is the millennial rule. You have to go and worship. You don't believe in him, it's okay. Go and worship. You don't love him, it's okay. Go and worship or there will be no rain. Now that's what it calls, right? A rod of iron. And then it says also the church. You see, that's what promised the church in Thyatira. Now, when you step out there to take control of your territories, which the Lord has given you, don't expect love. Don't expect that there will be no resistance. It's going to be there. Expect hatred. Expect anger. My God, I know I've received that. Huh? Praise the Lord. But thankfully, I am not expecting love. If it surprises me, I will consider that to be my birthday. Where they have surprised me. But I don't expect it. You know, my wife used to read the comments on some of my posts on social media. Then she would get miserable the whole day. Why are you reading comments? will rule over them with a feast of what? With an iron fist. That's what the scripture says. So you can go on social media and comment, we'll rule over you. And we'll order it according to what? To what the Lord wants. And now everybody here has to be occupying something to order it. Somebody in finance, somebody in entertainment, somebody in music, somebody in worship, to order it according to what? According to him. And to rule people with an iron fist. Where they are... Do you know what it means where people do not like you? But they are forced to like you. Because the only way they can get along is by associating with you. When that happens, you know you are somewhere. And you look at somebody who is there with you and you know very well he doesn't like you or she doesn't like you. But that's okay. Praise the Lord. They are not in a position, they do not have the luxury of expressing their dislike for you. That luxury they don't have. That's called an iron fist. Praise the Lord. Now, we sampled it here a bit when they ruled us with an iron fist. You remember in the 2020 during COVID, where there's iron fist. And there was an order from above, specifically for the church, where they open arcades, they open what, they open everything. Then they tell the president, what about churches? He said, those ones will talk about it 40 days from now. And it wasn't him. It was them. Then they even said, if you go to church, no singing. Because apparently the saliva that comes out of you has COVID. You see how the Kumanyira does? So you wait when our iron fist comes. Whereas elsewhere you can sing. By the way, there was a lot of stupidity in that thing. And people will believe stupidity because of power. Because something which is stupid, because it comes with power attached to it. So people are going to board the plane. And some of you people, people are going to board the plane. And there is social distancing. Here, there, there, there. So they are going to, to check in for an aeroplane. But as soon as they enter the aeroplane, they are going to be sitting next to each other. Like, can you see it's stupidity? It was stupidity, stupidity, and everybody followed. Why? Because the iron fist, you had no choice. Now you wait when our iron fist comes. Praise the Lord. Because that's what it is. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of God. Praise the Lord. Now, if you want to know that there is not going to be a popularity contest won here, after the 1,000 years of the millennial rule, of Jesus ruling here on earth with us, with an iron fist. Praise the Lord. After that, and after what the scripture says that time is going to be like, where, there is all the enmity is gone, there is peace, where the lion shall lie with the lamb, and the child shall lead the cobra out to, and so on and so forth. After that, it says that the Antichrist will be released. You read there, chapter 20. After 1,000 years of Christ. So there will be some people who will be born in the millennium, in their 1,000 years. And all they will know is Jesus. Because the devil will be in the bottomless pit. So they will never know any devil in those 1,000 years. So they will be born in Jesus' reign. And others will have been sampled a bit of, both. Go ahead, Revelation 20, verse what, 11, I think? Start from verse 5. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan, okay, you first go to verse 5. Start from verse 5. Okay, just start from the beginning of chapter 20. There's something I want to do here. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Go ahead. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. In other words, those who died in the Lord will rise from the dead and rule with Christ. Those who died in the Lord from way, way back from creation, those who are just. But those who are not will remain dead in those 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Go ahead, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Okay? Now imagine that. These are people who have not been deceived. They were born when Satan was in the bottomless pit. And they were living in the time of Christ, when Christ was reigning. But Jesus, when 1,000 years are over, he will release Satan. And they have sampled Jesus, but they will still choose Satan. And you see, you have to understand. And you think there are a few of them? No. Like the sand of the sea. So people will always choose the devil. You understand? That's why God just rule over them with the fist of God. Because there are people who will always choose the side of the devil. Even after they have been in the millennial rule of Christ, they say, for us we want the devil. And now he says, gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Go ahead. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. So now Satan is making his final quest to defeat the Lord. His final, after 1,000 years in the pit. And he's doing it with human beings, people. So many of them would have chosen him. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, I used to wonder that, why does the Lord release him out of the bottomless pit? Why does he just leave him there? You see, it's important for everybody to have a chance to choose. So he will give them a chance to choose. Because they will not have had a chance to choose him over the devil. You see? So he says, okay, now here is your chance. Are you going to choose him or me? Then, like the sand of the sea, they will go to the devil. And then they have chosen their own, you know? Praise the Lord. Now, when people understand that, man, our life is choices. Our life in eternity is choices. Eternity is about the choices made here every single day, reverberating into eternity. A choice you make every day that goes into eternity. Now here, people will have had the opportunity to see what the Lord is doing, but they will still choose the devil. Now, of course, for you, you've known the devil, and you've chosen God. Now, when you're raptured and come to reign with Christ, there will be no death for those who are with him. That's what it says here. But my point is this, that we will preach and evangelize. But now the time is a time for dominion. Okay? People are not convinced by something. Just take it over and impose your thing on them. Glory to God. Now, there are things which are happening, which, by the way, God has dealt us a good blow. A good hand, not a good blow, a good hand in these times, where you see certain things are changing. And if they had not changed, the world would be going in a very, very tough direction. Now, for instance, and it starts with politics. It starts with the church, but eventually it has to enter into leadership. That's where it has to enter, because that's where decisions are made. Now, seeing the other day in America, Trump said that they are defunding all sex change operations. Now, that's going to kill the whole transgender movement, because those operations are very expensive. The reason they are transgenders is because when you decide you want to be a woman and you're a man, the operation is funded by the government. But once the government says we are not funding it, you don't have the money. It's about $18,000. You think how many people have it? Even if they have it, will they do something stupid like that with it? So now once you remove the funding, it all vanishes. Okay? And now the other day he even pushed it a notch higher. He says hospitals which do those operations are not going to get any government support whatsoever for any other thing, even for treating other sicknesses. Now that's what they call ruling with a rod of what? Iron. And you impose your thing on them. We don't want that stupidity. Okay? You impose it on them. Then he goes to Planned Parenthood, who are there convincing people to abort babies. You know? People, some of whom want to have their babies. And they are convincing people. Now, and they are so... In UK, somebody went and was just praying outside an abortion clinic. And they were caught and sentenced to given some crazy sentence, 14 months in prison, for praying outside an abortion clinic. Just praying. Now, that's an iron fist of the devil. You understand? Where you cannot even pray out. Like somebody just feels and not even pray. And the death cult that is currently there, there was a case which actually shocked everybody. In the UK still. Because there was a child who had a terminal sickness. And the doctors determined that the child was not going to live. And is not going to live and have a normal life. So it's going to be some sort of cabbage all their life and so on. So the UK's medical system decided that it was a waste of time treating this child. So they just wanted to pull the cables and the child dies. Now the parents said, no, don't pull them. Then they said, we have to save money to treat people who actually can get well. Your child has no chance of getting well. Then something happened some years back. Then the Vatican decided that they want to take care of the child and take the child off the bill of the UK government. And the Pope apparently even was willing to send an aeroplane to come and pick the child and take the child. And since your problem is you don't have the money, we'll bring him here and let's look after him. The hospital system went to court and refused the Pope and said the child has to die. We have decided the child should die and should die. Previously, they said the only reason they had is they are saving money for other people who can, you know, get well. Now, when somebody came and said, no, it's okay, you keep your money, they went to court and court ruled that the child should not live, and the parents stood there and watched their child die. Now, that is an iron fist. So now, when somebody comes and says, you have been funding sex education, cut. You've been doing this, cut. We cut funding where they were funding media channels and what. Now all the media channels, people are closing because they had no customers and what. Defunding. Now that's called an iron fist. But some Christians are still, but man, isn't it going too much? Iron fist. If they had the chance, they would not have any mercy. And they would be doing evil for you. Are using it for what? For good. Because it is so bad that children go, then they start asking young children, young people, what's your favorite color? Then a boy says pink. You are in the wrong body. You are supposed to be a what? A girl. A young boy. And then they take him to a counselor. Then the counselor tells him, no, you're supposed to be a girl. Then they pump it in him. The next thing they have cut off is what? His thing. And given him hormones to give him breasts. Like, it is evil, evil, evil. And they do it without shame. That's why Christ said we have to rule with an iron fist. Praise the Lord. Now, there are certain things where there will be no compromise. If something is evil, it is evil. Praise the Lord. Now, when you have that thinking, because the things they do you know, now there are those guys called over Black Rock. They buy all the companies which were doing healthy food. They buy them just to close them down, so that they can give people unhealthy food. And then, of course, they have the money. I remember when we were young, remember Schweppes? Schweppes used to be made from fruits with some carbon in it and what, so it had the soda vibe, but with actual fruits. So there would be Schweppes, pineapple, what, apple and what. But it was a bit healthy, although it had a lot of sugar, but it was, you know, fruity. Then Coca-Cola came and bought it and closed it down. So you have to drink their poison by force. You understand? You come up with something healthy, they buy it and close it down. And now they have done that for a lot of things. They just buy. Food companies, buy. Now, when the time comes for us to be in whatever, and when money is in our hands, you do the same thing. The same thing. You buy them and close them down. Because they do that. And now let me tell you, when you have that thinking, you think money is a problem. It is not a problem. You wait and see how the shift of wealth moves from one direction to the other. I am already seeing it. I am seeing it. Now, whoever is ready and has this thinking, you wait and see. The easiest part, let me tell you, as far as the Lord is concerned, the easiest part is giving you the money. The most difficult part is making your mind think the way he wants you to think. So that you know what the mission is. Now that one, he has to work in you, so that you stop getting excited about, you know, certain things, you know. You come out of certain ways of thinking. I remember sometimes some guy, I was, the world imposes itself in you in one way. So this guy comes and tells me, long time ago. So he comes and says, motoka hiyo. Okay. Ocha pangisa over wazim. Now, just that question. He has put you in a certain place. You understand? Like he's, and suddenly in your mind, you're okay. First of all, that was so many years ago. I was young and somehow, like, I wasn't the worst of the worst. But somehow, somebody comes and asks a simple question. And now he has placed you in a certain place. Now you start feeling inadequate. You see? Now you have to get to the point where you actually know what your mission is. That when somebody asks things like that, you just say, now, you know, you cannot be shaken by things like that. So now that, as far as the Lord is concerned, is the difficult part. That you're here. I wish I could just show you what the mission is and how you are going to accomplish this mission. Then the bit about the money is so easy. Amen? In the days of Isaac, it just says he sowed in famine when everybody is in famine. And he sowed in famine and he reaped 100-fold. And he became very wealthy. That the people who were there said, "We get away from amidst of us. You've become too rich for us." It's just that simple. The question is that now, how are you thinking about money? What is the mission? Are you ready for Iron Fist, or you are still trying to be accepted by the world and still be popular and so on, and you don't understand that, you know, the Lord was never popular and is actually even never going to be popular? Never. It's not going to happen. Even after he has ruled, as I've showed you, there's not going to be any popularity. Praise the Lord. But you know that I am going to be in control. So every industry, every single industry, you know that I am taking it over to rule it. So when I remember when we were young, CBS TV had soaps, had soaps, Another Life, you know, and so on. They had children's programs, Superbook, and so there was a lot of entertainment which was Bible related, because somebody had a vision of getting, you know, a television and making and Another Life was not overtly Christian. It was actually a real soap showing everything else. But when you watch it, somehow they are pushing a Christian theme, but it's very subtle. Now all that died away. Now all you watch are series which are pushing a very demonic theme, but also in a very subtle way. Very, very subtle. Okay? And now they stopped being subtle. Now they are very brazen. The first season will be very good. The second season will be very good. Then the third season, men will be kissing men. And they will do it all the time. They are so brazen about their stupidity that they will force it in you. Like this, force it on you like this. Now, we have to take over that industry. Okay? And now, I would wish some people can stop thinking about themselves the way they think about themselves. Because when you say these people are thinking like, man, well, how? Starting from where? What do I have? You see? What's the basis for it? And they don't understand that it is step by step by step by step. Praise the Lord. And you just take the first step ahead of you, and then to lead to the second one, then the third one, and before you know it, even you can't comprehend whom you have become and how your dreams have grown and become so big, because you took that first step and you do not stand and fear, oh man, what am I going to do? And then you also have a industry which you are taking over and ruling with the iron fist. Praise the Lord. We are not going to allow this, because we are the ones funding it. So they come to you for funding, then you say no. We'll only fund it on condition that you push a Christian theme, that you do this. Some people don't want Christianity. Yeah, you go and fund yourselves. You're broke. If you are getting my money, you have to do it my way. Now, some people think would be shy to do that. Let me tell you, after COVID, you don't tell me that crap. I am ready to do anything. Like if you are, like my head will be on what? My foot will be on the, and you can only turn the body like this, but the head is what? Because that's what the Lord said. You rule them with an iron fist. Because they did that to us, praise the Lord. Now the question is, are you ready? Or are you still nice and trying to be popular and trying to be understood? You know, people don't understand us. By the way, the worst thing you can ever be is somebody who wants to be understood. That is a snare. Is a snare. Everything you do or say will be misunderstood, even on purpose. If you really try to want to be understood, that's not what I meant. You take whatever you want. Because people are going to do things. Are going to say things. You know, there was a time I posted on social media that from this day onwards, whatever you hear about me, believe it. I have no time to defend myself. And by that has been my philosophy for 8 years now. I don't care what anybody has to say about anything. I don't mean anybody. Praise the Lord. So now, here, he shall rule them with a fist of what? Of iron. And it says, the people did not like him. But what does the Lord do? The Lord tells the people whom he gave the talents, go and do business. Go and occupy. And when you are finished occupying, and you say, now this territory, I have occupied it for God, then the Lord will come. When all of us have occupied all territories, then he comes as a winner, you know, as a king of kings, not as a loser. He comes when we, every sector, that's the rapture which the Bible speaks about, where Jesus comes for a church which is on top. It says that in Ephesians, okay? A glorious church. He comes, Ephesians 5, he comes for a glorious church, not a defeated church. Not a church which is escaping because there is too much homosexuality, there is too much what. No, no, no. Anything you see that is not right, somebody has been sent there to go, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, this is the church that he's talking about. So every time you see something that is wrong, it is because somebody, one of you, has been sent there and you have not yet taken up your position. So there are so many orphans on the street. Somebody has been sent to take care of orphans and they are still folding their hands. Okay? Praise the Lord. The politics of the country is fake. Somebody has been sent to take over and put it straight. Praise the Lord. Too much poverty, somebody has been sent. So the question is, do you know where you have been sent? We are just in church. Are you occupying somewhere? We are just in church. And now if you know where you have been sent, are you doing something about it? Are you actually carving out, you know, some space for yourself? Saying, I'm starting small here, but ultimately I'm going to take over this business. And I'm going to take over all this, you know, enterprise. And then somehow, I'll be in control of it. And when I'm in control of it, Jesus is in control of it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, that's how the people of the kingdom of darkness are. They put rulers there who are answerable to them. But now the Lord is putting people who are going to be answerable to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, when you see it happening, first of all in Israel, where people say, oh, they are starving, all these people and what. And if you listen to that sort of rhetoric, you get a spirit that is not of God. Oh, you know, I've seen that, a lot of that. You know, they are starving people and what, and so on and so forth. There is nowhere where people are supposed to be weak. Those people who are crying that they are starving them, just give them a gun and they are going to shoot 100 Jews given a chance. But now, oh, they are starving us. Iron fist. I'm telling you. Like, you know somebody, given a chance, he's going to come for you. So are you going to be stupid and let him come for you? You see, those people, they got to know in the Second World War how evil people can be. Because in the Second World War, that man, Hitler, had written a book which is called Mein Kampf, which means my vision in German. And in the vision, he said he's going to exterminate the Jews as a race. It was there. So when the man became Chancellor of Germany, some of the wiser Jews said, this man has said certain things. And some of them left and went to the UK. Most of them went to America. They did not wait to see. But others said, no, somebody cannot be that evil. Let me tell you, don't have any faith in human beings. Human beings can be evil. So they said, no, he can't. He didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. By 1936, no Jew could leave Germany. Those who were wise had left. Hitler became Chancellor in 1933. They had 3 years to take him seriously at his word. But of course they had businesses, they were rich, they had a lot of what. Many of them sold them for losses and went to America and said, here, we are not going to wait to hear what this man, to see what this man has to say. Now some of them stayed until they could no longer live. Then you know what happened. Now, so after that, those years, when they were led like sheep to the slaughter, and they were so powerless, the man started changing people's opinions towards them. Jews are these, they are the ones who killed Jesus, they are the ones who did this. And he turned, even used the church, especially the Catholic Church, to turn people against, even the Protestant Church, to turn people against the Jews. By 1939, everybody hated Jews in Germany. Then the killing started. So my point is this. Those people know what it means to be weak, to be vulnerable. So immediately after that, they said, we wanted a state of our own. We want our own country. As soon as they got the country, they started doing things. Okay? And they do very, very... Some of the things they do, you may approve of them or not, but they decided they will never be weak again. That's what they call iron fist. Now, the church has to get to that place where we are not going to sit and they come and say, the church has been locked down and we just keep quiet. And you go home. Do you know how many people left church during that period? So many people left church during that period. And they never came back because of the powerlessness. Like they get this hopelessness. Now, we are going to make sure that nothing of the like happens again. Amen? And we are going to start by being the ones in the decision making. Praise the Lord. Decision making, and some of you are not ready to be there. You just want to earn a living. Now imagine God is looking at somebody who is going to take over and iron fist, and the person is saying, yeah, I want to earn, I'm looking at earning a living. And what are you supposed to, you're here to earn a living? Like, how is your living going to benefit the kingdom of God? So now you see, the thinking of the old church creeps into the current church, which is supposed to be a dominion church. And all they are thinking about is earning a living, earning a living. So now, wazimba, obocha apangisa. Ntinaguza akataka. Ekanyanya. And now you also admitted among the table of what? Of men, because you have a kataka. Huh? But God is looking at you saying, how is your kataka helping the kingdom? If you don't just align your things to the kingdom, you would not have a kataka. You would have a very powerful house. You see, eh? But first align it to the will of God. First align it to the kingdom of God. First know that God has called you to do something and say, this is now my area where I'm going to, you know. I was shocked to learn that even AI, God wants us there. So you also have to align that one to what? To the kingdom of God. Not just say, AI is very what? Why it can be demonic, it can be. But it can also be used for the kingdom. By the you tell a Christian demonic and they all run away. But money can also be demonic. It's all about who is holding it, you understand? Power can be demonic. It's all about who is what? Holding it. There's places where somebody is in power and God says, no, that one, nothing bad can pass there because I have my man there. Praise the Lord. And he knows, he's confident that he has his man there. But then, the man is either trying to be popular or does not know Iron Fist. Operation Iron Fist. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you have any mercy for evil, that you see, we have to let people choose. What did they let you choose if you fear COVID or not? Because me, I say, okay, those who don't fear COVID, come and we congregate. LDUs are going to be there with Chiwok. Praise the Lord. By the way, I have never felt so helpless in all my life like that. Where you are home, you need to go and buy something in the supermarket. But you can't drive your car. That was at the beginning. So I would get a, what's that thing called? This one. A backpack. And walk from Bugorobi to Muyeng. And go to a supermarket and buy things and then put them in my box. Yeah? And then walk back. I convinced myself that it is exercise. But it was iron fist. I said that it's good for exercise. But it was iron fist. Yeah? And then there was a time when I was running late and it was going to get to 7 p.m. before I reached home. So borders were allowed to move, but not to carry people. But then I realized if I walk, I'm going to arrive after 7 p.m. So I got a border, and I jumped. He took me from here up to there, then I paid him. Then we passed the policeman walking, then I jumped on another one, took me from there to there, and then I arrived. Because if it gets to 7, LDUs are outside. But you convince yourself that what? It's exercise. But iron fist. Iron fist. Now you wait. We have iron fist. No mercy. Praise the Lord. Okay, I finished preaching. Now you go on. What? Anybody has a testimony? Yes, give him the mic.
Praise God. My name is Emmanuel Kedi. I was actually preparing to approach the media team to record my testimony after the sermon.
You can still do it, but tell us.
I've been here for quite some good time. On 19th, I happened to travel to the village. It was a Saturday. I was here on Friday, then on Saturday I traveled to the village. But I got some emergency. I got a call back in Kampala, so I needed to be back in Kampala. I came back on Monday. I go on a commuter taxi. But I didn't have enough money to take me back because I had another commitment back in the village which I had to go and accomplish. So I spoke to the tax guy. He's from our place. I told him I don't have transport to bring me back, but I need to come back to the village. He agreed to pick me up. So we made an arrangement that I should be at Centenary Park by 5:30 a.m. So by 5:20, I was already there. By 5:40, the man had not yet arrived. The police came. I was seated under that shed, with some other guy. There were some taxis there and the conductors, but we were picked up. We were roughed up and taken to CPS. From there, we made statement, and by 8 a.m., we were read at City Hall. And we were charged with disturbing public peace. And I was remanded to Luzira until 11th August. So I was helpless. I had no one to call. I don't have brothers in Kampala. My brothers are a bit far from here. I was just there. But I wasn't worried about my life. I was worried about my job. I do some small job with a private security firm. And I felt, when my leave is done on 30th and I can't report back, job will be gone. I prayed. The whole experience was traumatizing. First time in the dock, first time in a police kabangali, first time in a prison bus, first time in a handcuff. It was traumatizing. But I prayed. I remembered what the watchman used to tell us. One time he had told us that even if you pray and you don't have faith, your prayer may not be answered. I had faith. When I prayed, first day in Luzira, in the night I prayed, I felt a voice speaking to me, and it sounded exactly like our father, the watchman, echoing the words he said one time, that if you were Abraham and you are told your descendants will be as many as the sand on this world, but you don't have a child and you are at advanced age, would you believe? I meditated, I said, what's the meaning of this? I remembered it just told me to have faith. I was only praying to God to make sure I leave Luzira before 1st August, because I was supposed to report for work on 1st. I was there from 22nd, and then on 28th, it was a Monday in the evening, two of my brothers came to check on me. It was a surprise, and I didn't expect anyone. I just called one brother. I think he's the one who circulated the information. They came and talked to me. They told me, Emma, 11th is very far. You can't be here up to 11th. So we have been in court, and we have processed a production warrant for you. The magistrate said it will be sent to Luzira today. So maybe by close of business, we might receive it. We are not sure, but he assured us we'll send. So they checked on me and they went back. I went back to the cell. Barely 5 minutes, my name, the announcer came and told me to prepare. Tomorrow you're going to court. On 29th, it was a Tuesday, I was in court. I was granted bail. And the magistrate said, he spoke to one of my brothers and told him he's going to dismiss the case. I should just go back to court on 11th and present myself so that he can dismiss the case. So I want to thank the God of our watchman. He did a miracle for me. On 1st, I was able to report for work, and I'm back at work.
Praise God. I'm Morena, and ever since I met the watchman, my life changed. I had brought my baby for dedication. I had never come to this church, but my husband listens to him a lot. So I knew he was the right person to lay his hands on my baby. Just the way he preaches, that there are some people who you meet and your life changes like negatively. Something happens. And you know it's because of that person. It's the same way when I met him that my life changed. There is even nothing that I gave. I was going to give a seed. Then he told me, no, you wait, you'll come back with your husband. But before that time, I never imagined myself like leaving a job of 1M, like someone is offering a job of 1M, and I'm like, no, I don't need that. But currently, I lay off many jobs. I'm like, no, I actually don't like that. And I work for fewer hours. And it's just a period of 1 month. Before that, I could imagine myself. But at that time when I met him, I was even willing maybe to work for less. So I'm so thankful to God that everything he preaches, I see it manifest in my life. And I know this is fertile ground for sowing seed. And things just come easily for me. Things that would have taken too much effort. You just know that this is really God working in your life. I'm so grateful to be here.
Praise the Lord. My testimony, not far from us though. I thank God. At the beginning of last month, I lost my job around 7th. But you know, one of those things that happen. But you know, there's good cause behind it. The company was going through a challenge. They were running out of money, and I was one of those guys that they first let go. So being one of the technical guys, and you know, we're always busy, I never expected it to happen, but it happened anyway. But the guys who stayed, salaries were cut, but people were still there. Me, I was just there wondering what's happening next. But you know, kept coming for fellowship, listening to the word, and just this month, last Monday, I got another job, offering way better, the conditions are better, and yeah, I'm in shock. I also wonder, like, what are the odds? You lose a job, within 3 weeks you get another better job. To be a bit specific, because I was in shock, I'm a technical guy, IT basically, but I got a job without even taking my papers. For some reason, I was submitting my CV. They kept asking for a CV. I kept sending. The thing refused to go. I went for interviews without no one looking at my CV. And so I basically got a job on word of mouth. I entered the conference hall, the conference room. I convinced people, basically oil and energy. So being it's a more technical thing, I was also shocked that how could these guys give me a job, not looking at my CV. But all goes back to what Papa keeps saying. When you believe for the best and, you know, you keep moving, things will always happen. That's it.
Timothy, what do people put in CVs? Because I've seen people who have just left university and the CV is a book. And I say, what has he done? Huh? It's like lies. Oh, it's all like a CV like this. Even me who is in my 50s, even if I was to compile, I would struggle to even make 3 pages of real substance, you see, eh? Unless it's the word of God, that's what. But otherwise, I see people bring your CV and somebody, who even reads them? You are somebody who, do you read those things?
No, Papa, we put them aside and listen.
And listen, eh?
To what they have to say.
Okay. I thought so, because, man, CV, somebody goes and compiles a CV, writes what, you know? It's weird things, anyway, but praise the Lord. So we promise those who... I remember that those who said they wanted jobs the end of this month, remember? Hey. And so keep on believing. If you're one of those whom we prayed for, that something powerful is going to come. Praise the Lord. Okay, God bless you.
That was the Watchman, Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.